The loss of a single life is never a small thing. There are always ripples. For commentator Alyssa Eli, a recent death meant she was awash in surprising emotion.
We weren't many, but we were unanimous. It was a glorious day for a funeral. Let us be sad, someone said, but let's not forget, she was 102. In the nursing home, my grandmother had painted her brows each morning with a charcoal pencil. When she could no longer paint for herself, her aides painted for her. She wore stockings and a pair of heels to show her famous ankles. In her last week, when she spoke only to her dead husband, she slept with the heels on. It wasn't a funeral with many tears. My weeping was for myself. With each death, the canopy of protective generations above us thins out. First there are three generations, then two, and finally none between the ground and the sun. In my grandmother's apartment building, where she lived before the nursing home, there was a heated pool. We'd shower in a locker room and race to the water. She'd sit near us on a chair with unsteady arms, in a bathing suit with a skirt. Sometimes she splashed in demure amounts of water. When she moved to the nursing home, it felt like a great end, the loss of that pool. My little girl was with me at my grandmother's funeral. The pulleys and planks holding the coffin in place fascinated her. When the workmen lowered them and began to cover the grave with dirt, she leaned over to see what strange garden was being planted. "It's just like Snow White," she whispered. Afterwards, there was food in a relative's apartment. The apartment house also had an indoor pool, and when my little girl learned this, she begged to use it. We had her suit along, so I left the family upstairs and we took the elevator down. I explained the rules while she hovered obediently on the top step at the shallow end, wearing her bumblebee suit and a pair of water wings. I sat in a plastic chair wearing my funeral outfit. A cluster of old women played cards on the other side of the pool. She splashed back and forth for a while, then bumped down a step, and then a second step. The water was up to her chest. "Watch me," she called, and started to paddle. Somehow the wings slipped off her arms. The steps were still beneath her. She only needed to put her feet down, but she flailed toward the middle of the pool. Her head began to bob. The old women set down their cards. "Shouldn't someone go in?" one asked. "I'm her mother. I will," I said, with no belief in what I was about to do. I removed my heels and left them by the top step. It was the same instinct for detail that causes you to shut the front door of a house on fire. I waded into the pool up to my chest and grabbed my little girl by her bumblebee shoulders. I carried her back to the steps of the pool. It was like moonwalking. We sat on the lowest step so that the water covered us. She was past her terror now and weeping mostly for effect. We were both intensely relieved, but there were other sensations too. I felt the warmth of sudden water and a great pleasure seeing the grays and blacks of my dress swirl up. "The dress floats," I thought. "It's the pleats." It was wonderfully warm in the pool with pleats swirling around us both. Holding my little girl, there was a strange joy all out of proportion to the circumstances. Death thins the canopy of generations above, but if you're lucky, another grows at your feet. You lose the places where you've lived, but find a place where you belong.